Canons of Dort, Fifth Head of Doctrine, Articles 9 to 11, How to Strengthen Your Assurance of Your Preservation. And we can call this part one. There are three parts, and then we will conclude our excursus into the canons. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we've already established that God elects you. He then calls you. He then justifies you. He then sanctifies you. And He preserves you forever. Every Christian. We say that golden chain can never be broken. All those parts are tied together. We've also established that God uses means to do these things. We say God elects you, but God sends His word into your heart that you are able to come to Him. He sends a preacher who preaches that word so you are able to come to Him. So while it is the work of God, God is pleased to use means. Today you will continue to see how God works out your salvation, in particular your preservation, the means He uses to do so in the lives of believers. Our headings are two, how to increase your assurance of your preservation, really dealing with the subject of faith. And second, how to deal with doubts about the assurance of your preservation. Our goals are that you will make use of the means that God has provided to give you assurance so you can confidently go forward in your life and serve your Redeemer. So how to increase your assurance of your preservation. Article 9, the assurance of this preservation. We read together, concerning this preservation of those chosen to salvation and concerning the perseverance of true believers in faith, believers themselves can and do become assured in accordance with the measure of their faith. By this faith, they firmly believe that they are and always will remain true and living members of the church, and that they have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Article 10, the ground of this assurance. Together, accordingly, this assurance does not derive from some private revelation beyond or outside the Word, but from faith in the promises of God, which are plentifully revealed in the Word for our comfort, from the testimony of that very Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And finally, from a serious and holy pursuit of a clear conscience and of good works. Moreover, if God's chosen ones in this world did not have this well-founded comfort that the victory will be theirs and this reliable guarantee of eternal glory, they would be of all people most miserable. That's, of course, taking language from 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible talks about to be pitiable, most pitiable, if you don't believe in the resurrection. Now, before we consider how to increase your assurance of salvation, let us consider how the main groups view it. The Arminians, the Roman Catholics, and then Reformed Christians. This will make you appreciate more the work of the Lord Jesus in preserving you and assuring you of your salvation. Our Arminian friends. Arminians and some Baptists argue that no one can have or experience assurance of salvation unless that assurance is revealed to them in some special way. Maybe there's a prophecy from a prophet, or maybe a special dream from God. Maybe someone inspired to speak to them. Or maybe, like some do, you open the Bible and you find a spot, you put your finger and read it and see if God is speaking to you that way. And if they do that, then you will say, okay, then I know I am saved. But that's the way they rely on, knowing if they are saved or not, that they'll be saved for eternity and preserved for eternity. Roman Catholics, they go a step further than the Arminians. And the famous Council of Trent, this was started in 1545, trying to fight against the Reformation. The Roman Catholic Council then issued a curse, an eternal curse, an anathema on anyone who would say that he is sure he was saved, that he was sure that he had salvation. Even if he had some special revelation, they would say that meant nothing. What do Reformed Christians believe? We say, yeah, we believe in special revelation. But that special revelation is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 remind us of that. And by faith, we believe what the Bible reveals. The Bible reveals to us that we can be assured that we are saved, and we can experience the comfort of knowing that we are Christ forever. And this comfort and this assurance can stay with us and should stay with us our entire lives. See, the Holy Spirit works through that word that we read and assures us and gives us that confidence inside. So we don't need a star in the sky. We don't need a dream. We don't need a prophet. We need God's word. And God's word says we have eternal life. Look at John 10:28 together. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Who was the Lord speaking of? His children. They're in his hands. No one can take any of his children out. You know, if you hold something in your hand, someone may be strong and they can pry your fingers apart. Some of us who have other problems, you try to tickle someone and they will let anything go. We can't control things. And that's why this is difficult for us to understand. The Lord says, you're in my hands, no one can snatch you out. What a blessing. Look at Romans 8:39 together. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who can separate us from His love? No one. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. So we are very different, and I hope that part is clear, different from the Armenians, different from the Roman Catholics because of their view. We know we are saved and preserved for eternity. Now, some people say, I don't feel that way. Even Reformed Christians sometimes don't feel that way. But that doesn't mean it's not there. It's true that there's sometimes people doubt. I was listening to a lecture by R.C. Sproul, very godly preacher and theologian who passed away recently. And he said, even as a grown man, sometimes he would look at the sin and think, I can't be that good. I wonder if I'm going to go to hell. Doubts creep in. But the Word of God is clear. It is there. You have to grab hold of it. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, 8, and 18 together. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. This is the one who's saying, the things I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. And he tells Timothy, you know, the Lord will preserve me. He will protect me, deliver me from every evil work. Ties so nicely with the Lord's Prayer too. Deliver me. Deliver me when I'm tempted. Does he appear to have any doubt? No, and neither should you. This is God's word. Look again at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, a very famous verse together. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will never stop short. He will not never say, I think I made a mistake with that one. That guy, I don't like how he is living now. I'll abandon him. That lady, well, she's made some poor choices in her life. I don't want her anymore. He never does that. This will continue until the day of Jesus. So how do you receive this assurance of your preservation that God gives? How do you make it strong so that you receive what is there and not doubt? Well, strengthen your faith. The stronger your faith, the stronger your assurance. But if you aren't regularly in God's Word, your faith will be weak and you will doubt you are preserved, even if you stray a little. And isn't that often the problem? We get in some difficulty, we stop reading our Bibles. We stop praying. And that's where the problem is. The problem is not the trouble you have in your life. You'll always have trouble. But if the troubles come and the first thing you do is cut off the Bible reading and meditation, and you cut off prayer, that just makes the problem worse. That's what you need to be doing to fix the problem so your faith will grow and the assurance of Christ's love and His preserving power will be real again in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and following. Together, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, what came before that? He gave us preachers, teachers, evangelists. He gave us, and what do? They preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God that works in you, that protects you from being lured away by the wicked Jezebel that we just read about today, by the lies from our government officials, by the deceptions within the church. It's the Word of God. So if you want your children to live in fear and doubt their salvation, don't build them up. Don't teach them the Word of God. They will be weak adults. But I know you want better for your children. I know you want better for your wives. So put more time into the things that count. Maybe you need to drop some of the lesser activities in your children's lives so they can focus, you can focus on their souls. Even between husbands and wives, are there activities that are kind of useless? They're okay, but they rob you of doing something better. Remember, good activities can become bad activities if they rob you of better activities. There's something that you should be doing if you're doing something that's okay, but they're robbing you what you should do, then that okay activity becomes a sinful activity. And it's something to guard about. There are always many, many, many things to do in North American society. But you need to set time apart so you can raise those children with that reassurance, that Word of God that builds their faith, that they don't worry about their salvation. And then let the Holy Spirit work through that Word. Because that's how the faith comes, right? The faith comes from God, the Holy Spirit, working through that Word. You can teach the Word all you want, but unless you pray the Holy Spirit work through that Word, it will accomplish nothing. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16, together. As are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know that you are saved? The Holy Spirit works through that word and gives you that assurance in your heart. You know, an adopted child takes a while, but adapts usually to his new parents. The more he gets to know them, he sees how they care for him, he adapts. And before you know it, he loves them. And before you know it, he's inseparable from them. So the more you know your Heavenly Father, the more you trust him. He convinces you that you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And this is why you must pray for the Holy Spirit to work in you as you read the Bible and as you teach it to your children, as you listen to sermons, as you read good Christian books. Pray that the Holy Spirit will enrich you. But there's one more thing that you should do to build up this assurance that you need. Produce good works. Produce good works. They will help to give you the assurance that you are secured in your salvation. The tree that is receiving nourishment from Christ will bear fruit, and the fruit proves that you are in the tree. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's nothing saying don't do this. In fact, you are called to produce this. Produce this. The more you're receiving, the more you should be sharing. Remember what I asked in the first sermon. How is your life now compared to 2 years ago or 5 years ago? You should be producing more fruit. You won't want to plant a tree in your backyard and every year it produces less. The first thing you think about, I need to get a new tree. You want that tree to grow and to produce more and more. And if the Spirit is in you, you will bear good fruits. These are the literal words of Jesus. Matthew 12:33. Together, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Not only must it must produce good fruit. So what are some of those fruits? Worship the Lord in your heart and in your home and in his house. Encourage weaker brothers, someone who's struggling. Pray. Join us in that prayer meeting or pray at home for each one. That prayer list we send out for that purpose. That you can remember daily your brothers in prayer. Visit the sick. Speak for the persecuted. Share the gospel. Invite someone to church. Pray. Challenge wicked leaders. Defend the weak, the widow, the orphan, the foreigner. Those are the fruits. When you are bearing these fruits, then you will say, aha, I know God's Spirit is working in me. I'm bearing fruits. And when I bear fruits, I say, I know I am dwelling in the vine because that's how I get the sap to bear the good fruits. That blesses me as well. So how, secondly, do you deal with doubts about the assurance of your preservation? Article 11, doubts concerning the assurance together. Meanwhile, Scripture testifies that believers have to contend in this life with various doubts of the flesh, and that under severe temptation, they do not always experience this full assurance of faith and certainty of perseverance. But the source of all comfort will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but with testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. And by the Holy Spirit, revives in them the assurance of their perseverance. So it's not uncommon, and we've talked about that already, to sometimes doubt your salvation, even as King David doubted his salvation. In Psalm 13, David wondered where God was, as if he lost his union with God. This is King David, the man after God's own heart. Can you imagine that? Psalm 13, verse 1 says together, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" And Asaph, who worked in the temple, talked about the stumbling in his own faith. He thought the wicked prospered and they were healthy, and that was too much for him. And he wondered where God was. He thought, why am I wasting my time serving God? And they seem to be healthy and they're living wicked lives. Their children are happy and they're living wicked lives. I should do what I want. Look at the language, Psalm 73, verse 2 and 13 together. "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence." That's what he thought. And that's the reality for many. Maybe you feel like that today. But even though you doubt, you are saved. God will not allow you to be destroyed. He keeps you from falling off the cliff. And you know that was an important analogy in Jewish life. They went up on those mountains, those hills, and there were lots of rough edges, dangerous places, stone to walk over. It was so easy to slip and hurt yourself. And there was deadly. There were no cell phones to call the rescue people to get you. You could stay there and die, be eaten by animals. So it was a dangerous thing. And that's the picture. He says, "I will protect you so your feet will not stumble." He stops destruction from overwhelming you. And this is why Satan, remember when he went to Job and said, "Yeah, he's serving you because you put a big hedge around him and I can't touch him." That's what the Lord has around. He has his angels charge over you, Psalm 91. You know, children described as having a charge of angels to protect them. That's the word of the Lord. So the Lord is able and willing to protect his children. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says together, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." That is the word of the Lord. But here's a problem. God is saying, you don't need to worry. When you doubt, let my word come back to you. Know that I will keep you. I'll sustain you with my right hand. But our Armenian friends do something quite remarkable. You'll hear more about this next week. They argue that doubting your salvation is praiseworthy. And they do so for a real sinister reason. They use this argument to push people to fear. So if you're afraid that you're going to fall and afraid you're not going to be a Christian, then you will run and you'll read your Bible and you'll run and pray and then you'll run to church and you will give money to the poor and you will do all these things. But you'll do so from fear. Instead of preaching the glorious work of Christ for sinners as the true motivation for good works, they want you to do good works from fear. But what does the Bible say about that? It seems like the goal is good, but the means certainly are not. Doubting your salvation is sinful. You have no basis for doubts. You have a basis for confident approach to God. You know you are His and that this assurance in your heart makes you bold. Hebrews 10:19 and 22 say together, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." The blood was shed. You are secured forever. So do not come to God with fear and trepidation and doubts, but with confidence. Confidence. And come with comfort, because He cares about you. Your sins are gone, and God will never want to, nor indeed will He hold any sins against you. He says, "I cast your sins in a sea of forgetfulness. I will remember them no more." no grounds for doubt. Let's conclude. You experience your assurance of salvation and your preservation when the Holy Spirit works through the Word in your heart. It's true, sometimes you doubt. You doubt you belong to the Lord. You doubt you're a Christian. But God will never allow you to be destroyed. He will always bring you out by using His Word, maybe through a preacher, or maybe through your own personal Bible study, or maybe through a podcast you listen to, or a good Christian book that you are reading. And this assurance of salvation increases your ability and desire to do good works. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, three thoughts. Having the assurance of your preservation, are you enjoying it? If you are not enjoying your eternal security, get back to God's love letter. Pray that the Holy Spirit will work through that love letter and restore the confidence which brings joy. And then submit by doing good works that reassure you that you are the Lord's. He is working in you and He is bearing fruit in your life. These things will help you to know that you are saved forever and restore the joy you ought to have. But if you still don't have this assurance of preservation and the joy of Jesus, ask yourself this question. It's a very serious question to ask yourself. Say, do I really know Jesus? Do you truly believe He lived and died for you? See, this may be the problem. And it is a problem you have to deal with. If this is true for you, then you need to ask Him to work in you and help you to receive His work of His life and death. And then help our Armenian friends who don't enjoy the assurance of this preservation to know that it is available for them to enjoy. Open up the Word of God to them. Read the Gospel of John. There's so many examples of this assurance in the Gospel of John so that they can have that joy knowing that they are preserved forever. Finally, if you are not a Christian, you too have assurances. You are assured you will spend eternity in hell with no hope of redemption. But before you go there, you have an opportunity to change your destiny. You can change your destiny if you call upon God to make you His child and remove your sins on account of the fact that Jesus died for sinners. You can be 100% assured that He will listen. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words. It's much to mull on here. But what wonderful encouragement we have in Jesus Christ. We don't need to worry. We are His for eternity. Let us work to build that up, to use the means you have provided for us, to get into your word, to ask for your Holy Spirit to work and to bear fruits to show we are yours. Help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.